More than 40 years after her death, the voice of Zora Neale Hurston lives on in her recordings.
This song, called Shove It Over, it was sung to me by Charlie Jones on a railroad construction camp near Lakeland, Florida. When I get in Illinois, I'm going to spread the news about the Florida boys.
Zora Neale Hurston first heard that song in the 1930s, at a time when little attention was being paid to Black American folk culture. Helping preserve that culture was just part of her legacy. Valerie Boyd says Zora Neale Hurston was also a pioneering fiction writer.
She was writing about the inner lives of ordinary Black people, and that seems almost commonplace today when we've all read writings by Toni Morrison or Alice Walker or John Edgar Wyman, but for a writer in the 1920s and 30s and 40s to do this was almost revolutionary. And she specifically wrote about the lives of Black women. Hurston really broadened America's perception of what was worthy of literature.
Zora Neale Hurston once wrote that she'd experienced great sorrows and joys in life, joys that made her feel wrapped in rainbows. In her biography, Wrapped in Rainbows, Valerie Boyd describes both the lows and the highs, beginning with Zora Neale Hurston's idyllic childhood in Eatonville, Florida.
Eatonville was an amazing place for a child to grow up at the turn of the 20th century because it was an all-Black town. It was the nation's first incorporated Black town. She saw examples of Black achievement everywhere she looked. You know, the mayor was Black, the store owners were Black, all the teachers were Black. And that really gave her a strong sense of her possibility to be whatever she wanted to be.
Those years also shaped Zora Neale Hurston as a writer.
Her father was a Baptist minister, and visiting ministers would come to the Hurston home and sit on the porch and tell stories. And I think this kind of language and humor became the bedrock for her own literature.
Zora Neale Hurston was 13 years old when her mother died, her father remarried, and the family dispersed. She spent the next decade struggling to survive on her own. At age 26, she set off in a new direction, claiming to be just 16 to qualify for free study at a Baltimore, Maryland high school.
She reinvented herself from that moment on, and always part of her reinvention was this fiction about her age, which she maintained throughout her life.
Zora Neale Hurston went on to attend college and became a leading figure in the Harlem Renaissance, a flowering of Black American art and culture centered in New York City. But late in the 1920s, she set out on a new direction, taking a series of trips through the American South and the Caribbean to study Black folk literature, dance, and music.
Oh, shack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a, can't you move it?
She did a great deal of anthropological research and had, in fact, studied anthropology with Franz Boas at Columbia University and really found in anthropology a scientific way of looking at the Black folk ways that she had always appreciated growing up in Eatonville. She definitely preserved a lot of material that might have otherwise been lost. And, of course, this research informed all of her writing.
Zora Neale Hurston published books of anthropology, a memoir, and fiction, including an acclaimed novel called Their Eyes Were Watching God.
It's specifically a Black woman's story, but she deals with themes of love and loyalty and trust, the kinds of issues that we all struggle with at some point in our lives. She got a lot of criticism from some of her peers because she wasn't writing what was then known as social protest literature. And Zora said, you know, I'm interested in what makes a man or a woman do such and so, regardless of color.
That determination may also have prevented her from gaining more recognition in her own time. By the time she died in 1960, Zora Neale Hurston was living in poverty, and her books had long gone out of print. She was buried in an unmarked grave.
But in the mid-1970s, Alice Walker went to Fort Pierce, Florida, and put a marker on the grave just to honor this Black woman writer who had been so important in Alice Walker's own life. And Alice Walker wrote a moving essay about that experience in Ms. Magazine and really jump-started the revival of interest in Zora Neale Hurston.
And what is it that we appreciate today that earlier generations weren't able to see in her work?
I think we're able to appreciate her commitment to celebrating the lives of ordinary Black people. In her day, those lives were not necessarily thought to be worthy of literature. So Dora was so ahead of her time, America wasn't really ready for her, and we are now.
Zora Neale Hurston's works are now taught in high school and college classrooms. They've been staged in theaters, and each year a Zora Neale Hurston Festival is held in Eatonville, Florida. Valerie Boyd says she wanted to explore the personal life of a writer who's fast becoming a legend.
We often think of her as flamboyant and feisty, but I think she was also lonely in some ways. She had trouble finding people who would walk the kind of inventive road that she wanted to walk. I think she was, more than anything, an independent, liberated thinker.
And Valerie Boyd says that was the recurring theme in all her research. Again and again, people who'd known her would say there was no one like Zora Neale Hurston. I'm Nancy Beardsley.